This is upreading from the book UFO Contact from Planet Akkart, and I have come to chapter 4, A Friendly Family. We commenced to descend straight down. At first it seemed like we were going to hover near the others, but instead he said we would cruise along until we reached a paved level. It looked like there was a smooth place with a low salience around it. I figured it was to prevent water streaming down the walls in times of rain. As we reached the level of the 10th floor, we stopped with the front of the vehicle turned toward the building 4 meters away. There we landed calmly on a platform 3 by 4 meters square. The building had a great number of these. Each apartment had one. From top to bottom, there cast shadows one on another. Once parked, we left the interior of the machine. A cork picked up a paper bag, and I, at his indication, took another smaller one, in which certainly, by his order, had been packed by my terrestrial clothes. I thought that we had left them in that first city of Kon. Following that, a cork opened a door, signaling for me to accompany him, and we entered. It opened into a well-furnished room in the Akkartian style, a little or no different from that I had already seen on Akkart. Then he asked me for the bag and put them both on top of a small table together. I felt rooted, lacking courage to speak or move until a cork turned toward me and told me to sit down. Returning to reality, I sat in the chair indicated by him, remaining attentive to his movements. From there he led us to a table on which was an apparatus similar to a radio. A little above on the wall there was a glass of some 30 by 30 centimeters of a straw color. He pressed a button and I heard a buzz and waited for a while, drumming his fingers on the tabletop. Suddenly a feminine face appeared in the glass. I thought, ah, is it a television? But to top all things, the woman smiled and spoke, and a cork responded smiling also. I thought, I'm lost. My good friend is making fun of me, and not the least, he is speaking with the face of a woman reflected in the screen. This could only be some trick. They conversed as though they were together in flesh and bone. They were cordial and intimate in their conversation, which to me, to my great despair, was like he was about to kiss her. Finally, the apparatus was turned off, the face disappeared, and the hum ceased. A cork turned to me smiling and said, in a moment she will be here. She is anxious to meet you. I was frozen, petrified. I tried to speak, but could not. My voice would not come. Seeing my discouraging state, a cork happily ignored the freight and asked me, have you women? Is something wrong? I shook my head no, and finally I could speak, and I asked him, "What kind of business is this?" pointing a finger at the apparatus. He responded, smiling, "It is simply with direct a telephone for your better comprehension." "A telephone? And this glass where the woman appeared? What has that to do with a telephone? And who was she?" "Now, she is my wife. I told her of my arrival with you. But you do not know of communication of this kind on Earth." "Well, our telephones that I know of are interconnected by wires and only carry voice. We have television that is similar to this. This transmission station sends the image and the voice, and the receptor apparatus receives them. It can transmit the image broadcast, but what is happening in the station cannot be seen." "Well, there are two stations that communicate between them." "Ah, the Earth, that is impossible, since a television station costs millions, much less two of them." "Here in Akkart, our telephone is like this. Each family has its own. Look, I will call from the apparatus. This is the number of Tuvek in Con. My number is not the same, since it is written in algorithms of which I understand little." He pressed some buttons and it commenced to human. Suddenly there appeared in the glass the face of Tuvek, which is my first friend on the other city, Con. They spoke a little in their language, and soon a car called me near the apparatus, giving me his place. Tuvek gave me a happy greeting. I responded, inclining my head, and withdrew. I saw a Cork exchange some more words, and they said goodbye. Disconnecting the apparatus, he showed me how it was operated. I saw that once it was turned on, you stand here with your head in front of the lens. The lens was similar to that of a photographic camera. This apparatus transmits the image and the voice. The one with whom you are speaking does the same. Do you understand? Yes, I'm beginning to understand. Good. Now let us drink something which my wife has prepared. When he handed me the drink, I thanked him, at the same time preferring a glass of water. But for not knowing he was going to serve it, I couldn't think of a way out of this. Who knows, perhaps those people there drink this as an aperitif. We spoke of one thing and another. Then a door opened and a woman and a child appeared. She had a happy smile on her lips, complimenting the seriousness of her curiosity. She was a little tall, with an even oval face, skin white as jade, with medium mouth and medium lips, fine nose a little low, and light blue eyes, combined with long, almost straw-colored hair that fell over her shoulders, with soft waves from one ear to the other. Her dress was full and long, reaching to her feet, full of embroidery on the sleeves as well as on the bodice. Because of the fullness and length of her dress, I was not at first able to decide whether she was corpulent or lean. The child appeared to be about 12 years of age and looked much like the woman. I judged that he was her son from his features, and in fact he was. His dress was almost identical to ours of Earth. A cork got up, all smiles, and went to meet them, putting one hand on the woman and the other on his son, and brought them to the middle of the room. There he discussed something with the women which I did not understand. The youngster on his part remained silent, visible, interested, with his eyes fixed on me. I thought that perhaps he expected to encounter an inhabitant of Earth in a cage and not sitting in a chair talking with his dad. A cork separated himself from the group and looked to me, presenting me to his family. With no little trepidation, I tilted my head forward and greeted them. They responded without speaking and without coming closer. The four of us sat down. A cork then told me that when he received the advisory to go to the city of Khan to interrogate a certain person, he had not considered it to concern an extra-Akartino being. When he discovered this, he communicated it to his wife and that he was bringing me with him. She wanted to know if this was a being like them and of calm disposition. The wife and the son were a pair. "Look, the curiosity of my son towards you is great, as you can see." And that is the way it was. The youngster, since first seeing me, had not said a word. He looked me over from head to foot in great interest. Finally, the wife of a cork began to ask questions by means of his acting as intermediary, since she knew few words in German. She asked if I had a large family on Earth and if I was comfortable being on another planet, that of the Akartians, and finally an infinity of things, to which I responded with a cork translating for her understanding. At the end, still, the youngster awakened with energy and asked a number of questions through his father, because he also spoke no German. I responded saying I would like to be his friend. It was then that he smiled happily. After a long time of questions and answers between us, a cork said something to his wife and she left. Several times I had seen him look in a front pocket consulting a small instrument. This time I couldn't resist it and asked, "What apparatus is that?" "It is a clock, but much different from those you know on Earth," he continued. "Well, my wife prepares a meal. Let us go to the terrace, since there it will be more calm than before, not to better see the city." The three of us went out by a corridor, took an elevator and ascended to an upper terrace. From there one could see the whole city, beautiful and majestic, until in the distance the last houses blended into the array of color. A cork began to point out edifices that were schools, universities, factories, government buildings, etc. I looked at the buildings he indicated and the sun at the same time, which was at an elevation of about 4 o'clock Earth time, more or less. On a certain level I could not contain my curiosity, and I interjected, "If I am not mistaken, sir, you spoke of a meal in a short time?" "Yes, I said that. Looking at what I knew to be his watch," I continued, and that was almost an hour." He looked at me questioningly, thinking perhaps that I would prefer to be eating than looking at the city. I thought the following: when I arrived on our cart with the sun still up, we had eaten a meal. I had participated in a second, and now, with the sun still high, he spoke of an other meal. Had I missed something? Then I asked, "But how many meals do you eat in a day here on a cart?" "Five," he responded, still not understanding me. Five? But how? Well, let us see. After I have explained certain things here to you that already have to be explained, as the rest of the day is available, since the sun has granted me license to accompany you, it will be easy." It is remarked to say here that sun, the name Son of the Sun, is the name of a president-like figure, a man on a cart, which will be spoken more of later. Continue. "Who is the Son of the Sun?" "He is selected by the people, and is, better said, our governor. As I said, I must give you a better notion of the differences between a cart and earth, and likewise the similarities. It's a great opportunity for me. In the morning I will take you to the presence of the Son of the Sun." A cork noticed that this news disturbed me. To calm me, he said, "Don't be afraid. Nothing will happen. It is not like you have rebelled against anybody or anything. As you shall see, you will be very thrilled, and it is not worthy of you to lose your calm." We returned to his apartment and found the table already set by his wife, who greeted us smiling. We sat at the table served with customary abundance. During the meal, I limited myself to eating the foods already known to me. I was also served a hot liquid that looked to me like tea, which I much enjoyed. I drank 2 cups during the meal. During the meal, Akork's wife addressed some questions to me, during which the youngster spoke a little. Finishing the meal, she cleared the table and left, imitated a short time later by the youngster, this upon the advice of his father. We drank more tea and we talked about the foods we had just ingested, when I asked him the following question: "Can you, sir, explain to me more how and why you have brought me here?" And then the answer goes on to a new chapter. It is number 5, Comparison of Two Planets. A cork smiled and said, "It is quite complicated for you to understand. As you must have noticed earlier, when I tried to explain, I shall try to be more explicit. We Akkartians already have for a number of years been traveling to another planet. Excursions which later we have been concentrating almost totally on Earth. With what objective? Ah, in this we have several motives. Could you, sir, name them? Yes, perhaps in part. But for you to understand better, you must first know the difference between many things here compared to Earth. Things which we Akkartians have little discovered. Pay then good attention." Akkork said to me, "Sir, yes, sir," I responded. "Like you there on Earth, we here also have years that we are divided into months, months into weeks, weeks into days, days into hours, etc. We will see how it is here. One Akkartian year is 353 days. Except every 6 years we drop 1 day to 352 days, divided into 11 months of each 32 days. Bring that first except in the 6th year, which is then 33 days. This month are divided into weeks of 5 days. The days are divided into 6 hours. When he spoke of days of 6 hours, I exploded, saying, "But how can that be? It seems like I have already been an eternity on a cart. I have had 3 meals, and with the sun still high, and you, sir, tell me that days here have only 6 hours?" He laughed at me, at my confusion, and finally said, "It's logical that it seems strange, but it is that I am referring to years, months, days, and hours of a cart. Now I will make a comparison of a cart in relation with Earth, and we will see the difference. One Akkartian year is equivalent to 675 days of Earth. One month of a cart equals 61 days, 8 hours of Earth. One Akkartian week equals 9 days, 14 hours of Earth. One Akkartian hour equals 7 hours, 40 minutes of Earth. It in the hours there are other divisions, but it would be entirely impossible to explain them to you. But it occurs to me that for better understanding between us, we would say that they are divided into tenths and hundredths. But why is that on a cart, despite having less days as well as months and years? These seem much longer than they are on Earth. It is because a cart rotates more slowly, such as its turning with the sun. And the months and weeks here, why aren't there 12 instead of 11 and a week of 5 days instead of 7 as on Earth? With reference to the months, it is an astrological question that is difficult to explain. Here it must be a wrong word, not astrological, but it should be astronomical question. Well, go on. With reference to the weeks, it is almost the same. And I believe it is not of interest to explain to you, because then I place it into comparison, you will be more confused. Now, do you see and understand why we have had so many meals during one day here? Yes, now I am beginning to understand. Very well. Now let us go to the question referring to your coming here. You came to be standing here in the following manner. As I said, we have been contacting the Earth with various diverse objectives. This time the objective was this: we are behind in relation to you in some areas. In what areas? As you would say, in bread.
In bread?
Yes, in bread. But how? It is very simple. In what I could call of wheat. It is not like that of yours. Ours come from trees, despite production in abundance. The problem is not resolved, because it makes up into a dark mass that is not very tasty, as you certainly already know. And though we are able to purify it, it must be given fine management. It was with the objective of observing your cultivations that we sent a solar ship with a group of men to see what you planted and to collect a portion of soil together with the seed of your wheat to bring to a cart for later experiments. They were carrying out this labor when you appeared. They had already been ordered not to injure or kill any terrestrial, and when they saw you, they pointed a solar pistol with very low voltage and only made you lose consciousness and fall to the ground. They had prepared to depart and leave you there, since within a few hours you would recover your senses and continue to your destination. It was at that instant that a bad idea sprang into the head of an Akkartian. The commander of the ship, thinking you were a planter of wheat here, his subordinates did not see this with good eyes, but did not want to contradict him, and they too agreed. They brought you into the ship and gave you a narcotic sufficiently strong to make you sleep during the whole voyage and not feel the transformation of your weight during the passage through the neutral zones that exists in space. How many hours does it take for a trip from here to Earth? 36 to 38 hours.
36 hours?
How many kilometers is it from here to then there? Approximately 65 million at this time. Holy God. But it is that you will undertake a voyage like that only because of me? I responded with a cold sweat standing on my forehead. Don't worry. I already said we would take you back. He who brought you here is already paying for his disobedience committed when he brought you. When do you think you will take me back? When you are presented to the Son of the Son, it means the president, he will designate the day. But as I was saying, when they struck our atmosphere, they gave you an antidepressant which made you recover your senses. The rest you certainly remember. Yes, I remember my arrival more or less. And thus, when the solar ship arrived in Com, its commander ordered you to you taken to the houses of Tuek, one of the counselors of that city. Then he hastened to convene a meeting of other members to appreciate your case, and as we saw in you a humble and defenseless being who by force of circumstance was away from your world, where compassionate toward you and sought to come to an understanding with you. They addressed you in various languages without result, until you said something in German. And Tuvek knew some words, and he knew that I spoke this language, and since I am very friendly with him, with frequent contacts between us, I tried to teach him a little, and him giving me some of the details. It was then that we spoke with the Son of the Son, Son of the Son, that to whom we related all we knew, and asked for the consultation in Com. The Son of the Son was indignant over the procedure of the commander, and ordered him relieved of charge, changing it for another work as operator at the mines of solar steel for a year, and asked me to take you into my custody. Then he ordered me there, and the rest you know. Yes, and I was much benefited to encounter you, though there were hours that we tried to understand with little result. If it were not for you, sir, I would have thought I was going crazy. But you said, sir, if I did not misunderstand, that the commander of the ship that brought me was sent to work as an operator in a mine? Yes, the same. I don't understand how the commander of an interplanetary ship of such high position could pass to becoming an operator because of an unfortunate such as I. Yes, because our laws concerning the terrestrials is as follows. You must not touch or kill when we encounter them there, as in your case. Here the laws are made by man, and those that disobey must pay for their disobedience. I thought that a functionary of such high position would have some rights. No, here we have neither highs or lows. All are equal, as equals, even the Son of the Son. When he finishes his days as governor, for which he was selected by all the people, he will return to plow the fields, if that is from where he had come. What are these mines of solar steel? Solar steel is a special steel, whose utility, I believe, still has not been discovered on Earth. It is of that which we make our solar ships, and others as well, like that in which you travel with me. It has many other uses. That was down on chapter 5. Next is chapter 6, and it will be on a separate audio file.